Good day, brothers and sisters, and welcome once again to the CMI School of Christ. And we're going to go ahead and continue with our class, The Great Mercy of God. Just a quick announcement. We didn't have a class last week. I found out that I had a lymph node infection. I've never had one of those. I think it might have come from the cold that I had previously. So I'm not sure, but I was on an antibiotic. My throat was hurting. My ear was aching. Well, not a full-blown earache. But it was on the verge. So anyway, I've been on an antibiotic. I feel a whole lot better. I can actually speak and swallow and not have any pain, but that's fine. I just want to go ahead and continue with our class, kind of where we left off a little bit in our last class. I still want to be looking at the term patriarchs, and still with those 1, 2, 3, 4 mentions in the New Testament, because that's really where you find the term patriarchs. Now, the term fathers and father, you find it both in the New and Old Testament. But right here, in the four passages that we were looking at were Acts chapter 2, verse 29, where it's speaking of David, the patriarch David. Acts chapter 7, verse 8 through 9, where it's speaking of the 12 patriarchs. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 4, where it's speaking about the patriarch Abraham. And then finally, Romans chapter 9, verses 3 through 5, where it's speaking about the fathers, the patriarchs. And the first three passages that I mentioned all have the same, all are using the same Greek term, which is patriarchs, and that's Strong's number 3966. Now, Romans chapter 9, in verse 5, where it says, whose are the fathers? That term is actually pater, and it's Strong's number 3962. And so you may think, okay, well, you know, it's a play on our English words, but not really, because we did cover this, I think, in previous classes, if not our last class. With that term patriarch, or patriarchs, patriarchs, is Strong's number 3966. So here you have that one term, patriarchs, Greek term, and then that term comes from other terms. One of the terms is arco, a Greek term, Strong's number is 757, arco. The other one is patria, and that's Strong's number 3965, and that patria actually comes from the term pater, and that term is Strong's number 3962, that we find in Romans chapter 9, verses 3 through 5. And so, patriarchus, Strong's number 3966, is a progenitor, patriarch. We looked at that in a couple classes, past couple classes. The term pater is specifically father, a father. And then the other term, arco, is basically rule or reign, government. So basically, all that just to say this, that it is the father that governs his house. And specifically, we're looking at Abram. And I think later on the Lord declares the same of Abraham, after his name is changed, Abraham. And but we won't get to that point yet. But well, since I mentioned it, let me see if I can find it real quick, because we haven't gotten there in our studies. Nope, wasn't with that word. Not with that word either. It might be this one. Nope, not in that one either. Let's try one more word. Wasn't in my notes, so that's why. No, I cannot find it. It'd take me probably a while to find it, but I'd eventually find it. It's basically where, well, hold on. You guys probably already know what I'm thinking of here. Let's see. We're in Genesis chapter 17. I'm going to go a little further. Let's see. Here it is. Yes, here it is. Let me just go ahead and remember father and government. Father ruling the father of the house who governs the house, all right? And this is this is, let me mark this down first. Got to put it in my notes because it wasn't there before. This is actually the next chapter, Genesis chapter 18, and we'll come across this again. But Genesis chapter 18, starting with verse 17 through 19, right? And the Lord said, and this is basically with the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. And the Lord says, shall I hide from Abraham the thing which I do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. Verse 19. For I know him. That is, that phrase. Is just beyond what words can express. For I know him. Now listen to what I'm going to say. I know his life. I know what governs his heart. I know what motivates his heart. I know what he desires. It's an awesome thing to hear that. And the Lord said, for I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they will keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. Pater, arco, governing father, ruling father of a house. Now, excuse me. I was thinking about this, and I'm not sure if I... Yeah, I guess I did touch on it. I probably made a lot of mention of it in the previous classes. But right here, Genesis chapter 17, verse 1, for the very first time, very first mention in the scriptures, God declares himself unto Abram as El Shaddai, the Almighty, all-powerful, all-capable, all-able, all-sufficient, self-sufficient, everything. And sometimes we may look and see, oh yes, well that was needed for them at their time. But we've progressed. And one of the things that, well, I won't get there yet. We can look at it like that. We can look at it as a like baby type thing. Oh, that was needed during that time. But we're more mature now. And we have to understand this thing, this that the Lord made himself known as El Shaddai is everything. He made himself known as El Shaddai unto the fathers. Listen, the founding fathers. This is foundational and much more than foundational. This is the foundation, the Lord himself. The Lord himself. Without this foundation, nothing else, there would be nothing else. This foundation had to be established in the heart of Abram and in the heart of Isaac and in the heart of Jacob, which it was and was. So I don't want us to just look at this term El Shaddai and say, oh, well, you know, there were only so many times that it was mentioned in the scriptures. It's not that important. Or think of it as something less than what the term is. And see, here's the thing, and I think that's it. I think that's exactly what it's why we do that. We do things like that because we look at terms and we study terms and we compare terms with terms and we see the frequency of terms. Oh, well, this is more important because there's more here. This term is mentioned more in the scriptures than this term. So this is more important. But see, with God, it's not an issue of terms. It is person. And see, we can weigh terms as being important and not important and go back and forth. But with God, it's not an issue of terms. It's not an issue of concepts. It's not an issue of doctrines or theologies or studies or definitions. No matter how accurate they are, no matter how true they are, with God, it is an issue of person. So going on. So here, once again, patriarches comes from pater, father, and arco, governing, ruling father, the ruling father of a house. And I will say this, brothers and sisters, ultimately, and I mentioned this earlier, ultimately, it is God the Father and what governs his house. God the Father governing his house. Abram, well, we haven't still verse 1, still looking at Genesis chapter 17, verse 1, Abram is discovering the Lord as the source, the progenitor, the Father himself, the source of everything. Not I, but El Shaddai. Not I, but God. This is so much greater than what we know and understand. Because as I stated, this is not a matter of terms and definitions, whether they be, even if they are good and correct terms and definitions. This is a matter of person. And see, that's the thing right there. You look at Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They carried around no scriptures. They carried around no Bible dictionaries, Bible lexicons, Bible commentaries, Bible references. All they had was a living relationship with a person. It wasn't by book. It wasn't with a book. It was with a person. The book we have that is called the Bible, the Scriptures, brings us, by the testimony therein, that is found in the Scriptures, brings us to that same person. That's why in the New Testament we read Abraham, the father of the faithful. Abraham, the father of faith. All right, so going back, Genesis chapter 17, verse 1. Abram is discovering the Lord as El Shaddai, as the true father, the true source, the true ability, the true power, El Shaddai. So here is Abram in his household, and his heart is directed unto the Lord, and he is beginning to discover the Lord, because the Lord is making himself known as El Shaddai. And therefore, Abram, in his heart, is submitting. He is submitted to the government, to the rule and reign of the house of God. Do you see? It's almost like Abram, whom the Lord will, in a verse or two, call Abraham. It's almost as if Abram would say, "Not I, the Father." But El Shaddai, the Father. Not I, the Father, but the Lord, Yahweh, the Father. Once again, not I, but God. This is not a quote-unquote foundational thing like learning your ABCs or learning your 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. No. 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 Upon this rests everything else. This had to be established in the heart of Abram at this particular juncture, because remember, the whole issue was a seed, who is the heir, and an inheritance. And at that point, Abram knew what God had said, and he looked at Ishmael and said, "This is what God wanted. This is what God has declared." But all that was Abram's ability, the ability of man. And yet here the Lord is declaring not man, not man's ability, but his own. Bringing Abram in his heart from his concept unto reality, unto the truth, in his heart. All right, so with us who are born again, I'll present it this way. At the moment of new birth, it literally is not I, but Christ. This is reality. Christ is present in all fullness. It wasn't by our ability. It wasn't by the ability of whosoever, you know, was used of God to draw our heart, to bring our heart, you know, to direct us unto Christ. No, it's all a work of the Spirit of God. It's all God the Father. Jesus said, "No man can come to me except the Father draw him." What did you do? Nothing. What can a dead person do? No thing. Remember what Jesus said, with man it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. So, us who are born again, our souls, at the moment of new birth, our souls have been brought to salvation, to eternal life, because our souls have been brought to the person of Christ himself, who is our life. Our souls have been brought because Christ himself appeared in our soul. If Christ were not present in our soul, brothers and sisters, salvation would not be present. We would have no salvation. There would be no salvation for us. There would be no forgiveness of sins for us. There would be no eternal life for us. Eternal life is eternal life whether a soul receives Christ or not. But the soul who does receive eternal life, who does receive Christ, has eternal life because he's present. Wherever Christ is, eternal life is present. Okay? Now, just like with Abram, now the Spirit of God continues in the same manner, it's the same working of the Spirit of God, preparing the ground of our heart so that our heart may come in knowledge, from the knowledge of man, from our concept of when we read the Scripture, of when we study the Scripture, of when we read the commentaries, or of when we look at our Bible dictionaries or Bible lexicons, to bring us from our concepts unto a person in knowledge. From the knowledge of man, which is ignorance, unto the knowledge of God, who is a person, Christ himself, where he hath already brought our soul in reality at the moment of new birth. So in essence, at the moment of new birth, everything is as God has desired it to be in our soul, because Christ is present in our soul. The issue is, us who are born again, we have no clue of who is present. Therefore, the Lord continues by His Spirit, preparing the ground of our heart, that we may know who is present, that we may discover who is present, who has been present since the moment of new birth. Okay. Going on. All right. This is Easton's Revised Bible Dictionary for the term patriarch. It says, a name employed in the New Testament with reference to Abraham, the sons of Jacob, and David, which we covered in the verses that we looked at just a second ago. This name is generally applied to the progenitors of families or heads of the fathers mentioned in the Scriptures. And it goes on, and they are spoken of as antediluvian, from Adam to Noah, that's before the flood, Adam to Noah, and post-diluvian, from Noah to Jacob, patriarchs, post-diluvian patriarchs. But the expression, the patriarch, by way of eminence, is applied to the 12 sons of Jacob, or to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And right now I want to concentrate on those three, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And we shared this passage, this verse, in the past few classes. This is Exodus chapter 6:3, and this is where we get our concept of, oh, well, that was for, you know, for that time, but now we know much more. All right, here it is. Exodus chapter 6, verse 3. This is the Lord speaking to Moses. And I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty, El Shaddai. But by my name Jehovah was I not known to them. But now we're getting to know Jehovah. It's like, in our minds, we're like climbing the theological ladder, the doctrinal ladder, climbing the ladder of knowledge. No, that's our natural academia kicking in. That's our carnal mind trying to say 1 + 1 = 2. No, all that has to do with peoples, places, things, terms, times, events, definitions. But it doesn't have to do with a person. Okay? We're dealing with a person, brothers and sisters, a real person, more living than what we see with our natural eye. All right, Genesis chapter 17, verse 1. And when Abram was 90 years old and 9, listen, Jehovah, the very exact same term that we found in Exodus chapter 6, verse 3. It's been Jehovah, it's been Yahweh appearing unto Abram the whole entire time. Jehovah, Yahweh, same exact term we found in Exodus chapter 6, verse 3. The Lord, Jehovah, Yahweh, appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am El Shaddai. Walk before me. Continue before me. Walk before my face. Continue before my face. And be thou perfect. We're dealing with a person, once again. We're dealing with a person. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, they discovered a person. Listen to Paul, and I know I've probably already shared this, but listen to Paul, because we have our concepts. We have building block concepts. You know, that's what we're taught in the natural elementary schools, the public school systems or the private school systems. That's what we're taught. Building blocks. We learn our ABCs, and then from our ABCs we can create words, and from our words we can create sentences, and from our sentences we can create paragraphs, and from our paragraphs we can create chapters, and from our chapters we can create novels or books and volumes from there, and building blocks. Beep, 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 beep. That's not the way it is with the Lord. The Lord doesn't show himself in pieces. The Lord's a person. He's real. He's more real than what you see right now with your eyes. He is. He's more real than what we see with our natural eyes. More real than the people we see breathing and walking and moving. And we say, oh, they're alive. They're only alive if Christ is present. If Christ is not present, there is no life present. Okay? So going on. let's see. Dealing with a person. They were discovering the Lord, and they could very well declare, it is not I, but the Lord. Paul. Okay? Paul. The Apostle Paul. We look up to Paul. I mean, you know, oh, he's a great theologian. Yes, you know, he walked in the doctrine. He walked in the knowledge. Well, okay. What does he say? What does he say concerning himself? Two distinct places that I'm thinking of. It is not I, but Christ who liveth in me. Whoa! In another place, you know, brethren, I labored more abundantly than all the other apostles. Yet not I, but the grace of God, who Christ is, in me. Not I. Not my ability. Not what man can do. Man can do Ishmael. Ishmael, which wreaks havoc upon the church. Not I. Going on, this is the Greek English Lexicon of the New Testament, Leonida, for the term father, pater. What Strong's number was that? Pater. Strong's number 3962. All right. This is their entry 12.12. Pater, Patros, Abba. A Greek translation of an Aramaic word meaning father. One who combines aspects of supernatural authority and care for his people. And they've got a, let me look this up real quick. They've got a passage here as an example, cited as an example. This is Mark chapter 14. Verse 36, and I'm going to read it with their translation. Abba, Father, you can do all things. This is Jesus. Abba, Father, you can do all things. El Shaddai. This is the King James Version for Mark chapter 14, verse 36. The same verse that I just read, but this is in the King James Version. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Now, what type of relationship, what type of knowing of the Lord is this? What type of knowing El Shaddai is this? Is this something baby, small? Something, just foundational? The first building blocks that we need so we can grow and know the more profound or the more sophisticated, the deeper knowledge. This is Jesus. Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. El Shaddai. This is the relationship that Christ walked in reality. Listen, this is the relationship that Abram walked in by faith, in him who would come, seeing him from afar off, but seeing him. Therefore, he's called the father of the faith, the father of faith, the father of the faithful. This is not a small thing, brothers and sisters. This is not a quote-unquote foundational thing. This is the foundation of everything. The source of everything. As I was looking through different dictionaries and lexicons, I was coming across all these passages in the New Testament where the term pater, father, and Abba come up. And it's declaring ultimately God the Father. Back again with the Apostle Paul. Okay? I'll do it. Let me write this down. Paul. Okay, with the Apostle Paul. Not I the life. Not I my ability, but Christ. Jesus, not my words, but the Father. Not my works, but the Father. Not my miracle, but the Father. Walking in this relationship, walking in faith, walking in light, walking in the truth, walking in the knowledge of God, walking in the wisdom of God, walking in the understanding of God, walking in a living relationship A living relationship. Not I, but God. Not I, but El Shaddai. Not, listen, not I the Father, El Shaddai the Father. And brothers and sisters, once again, for us to know the Father, we must know Christ. It's only one way. Jesus, I think it was Philip coming to Jesus. Lord, show us the Father, and that is sufficient. I mean, that's what it came, that's what it all boiled down to. We know you, Jesus, you're great. Show us the Father. The all-powerful, the almighty, El Shaddai. And that is sufficient for everything else. Right? If we know this, if we see this one, if we know this one, everything else. Remember his response. Remember this response of the Lord. I think it was Philip. Let me look at it real quick. Just so I don't misquote it. Oh, I misspelled Father. All right, yeah. Philip. Let me just mark this down. This is John chapter 14, verse 8 through. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. It's sufficient for us. This is all we need. Just show us the Father. Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, not I, but the Father that dwelleth in me. He doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. For us, brothers and sisters, to know the Father, El Shaddai, we must find him in the face of Christ. Because the Lord Jesus Christ is the image, the express image of God. We just don't know how important this is. Abraham knew. Isaac knew, Jacob knew, Israel in the Old Testament knew, because we'll look at it, they reference the God of your fathers. Oh, okay, you've got my attention now. Oh, Moses, who's Moses? You know, who sent you, Moses? The God of your fathers. Oh, okay, all right, yeah, okay, this is real. This is important. Show us a Father. Philip knew how important this is. Show us a Father, and it's sufficient. This is all we need. Just show us the Father, that we may know this one. My brothers and sisters, God the Father desires to make himself known unto us, who are his children. Yes, because Christ is our life. He hath birthed us. He hath begotten us. He wants to make himself known unto us. And the way he will do it is in the person of his Son. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. All right, going on. That was the Lowanita entry 12.12. This is the Lowanita entry 36.8. Pater. Patros. He goes, one who is responsible for having guided another into faith or into a particular pattern of behavior, a spiritual father, leader in the faith. And then they give the example. And this is the Apostle Paul, the examples from 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15. For even if you have 10,000 guardians in Christ, you do not have many spiritual fathers. Or, it could be translated, you have only one spiritual father. And I like that. Let's go ahead and look at it in the King James Version real quick. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15. And right here, the Apostle Paul, he's speaking to Corinthians. He's speaking to those who are born again. And we know the whole situation. We think about the Corinthians. Oh, yes, they were children. They didn't have any, you know, greater knowledge. And yet he's trying to establish something with them. What must be established in their hearts, even as it was established in Paul's own heart of God the Father himself. I love that. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15 in the King James Version. For though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ that provide instruction, yet you have not many fathers. And he goes on to say, for in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. And see, the thing is, as even as it says here, one who is responsible for having guided another into faith or into a particular pattern of behavior, spiritual father, leader in the faith. Remember in Proverbs, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is older, he will not depart from it. Yeah, that's a very good verse. And that is exactly Proverbs chapter 22. Sorry, these verses weren't in my notes. 22 verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. This is exactly what the Apostle Paul was wanting to do. Establish them in that which is necessary. Because the Apostle Paul never left that. Remember, with God, it is not an issue of terms, terminology, and definitions. With God, it is an issue of a person. We can't go to the scripture and say, oh, okay, well, I learned that. I know that. I know that name of God. No, with God, it is a person. We're either knowing the person or we are not. It requires a miracle to know the person. It requires God himself. Impossible with man, but possible with God. El Shaddai is all over the place. It's in the entirety of the scriptures. With man it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. El Shaddai. Okay. Trying to train them up in the way they should go. Walking in the way. Walking with a person. The Apostle Paul, as I stated, could very well have said, not I, your spiritual father. No. God, your father. Yes, I know. I mean, we looked at it. He said, for in Christ Jesus, I've begotten you through the gospel. He also said, as we read, I labored more abundantly than all the other apostles. Yet not I, but the grace of God who is Christ Himself in me. See, we just don't understand. This was not a doctrine to the Apostle Paul. This was not a doctrine for him. This isn't something that he studied or learned by studying the scriptures. No. He discovered and came to know a person who was making himself known to him, who is revealing himself to him. A real person. More real than what we can see with our natural eyes or understand with our natural carnal mind. And I love the way they said this. I can't remember what I was reading, but basically they were saying something having to do with the way it was termed, or I don't even want to say it. I don't want to give the explanation of it. But they were saying that where it says right here for 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15, where it says, "For even if you have 10,000 guardians in Christ or 10,000 instructors in Christ, you do not have many spiritual fathers." Or, and this is a true or, this verse can literally be saying the following: you have only one spiritual father. And you can literally take that and say, not Paul, but God. Not Paul, but El Shaddai. Here's another passage. This is the Apostle Paul also, and hopefully I can find it. Taking a little bit of time here, it's all right. Okay. Right here. This is 1 Corinthians, still in 1 Corinthians. Now this is actually going back to chapter 1. Let's start with verse 11. "For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Was I crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul?" He goes on to say, "I thank God that I baptized none of you, but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I baptized in my own name." Ultimately, Paul knows that God alone hath done this. Because in his heart, this was established of the Lord. He was knowing the Lord in this manner. Not I, but El Shaddai. Okay, going on. We've got a little bit to go and we're totally out of time. We're actually running out of time. This is another entry of the Loanida Greek English Lexicon. This is entry 58.64. I'm not even sure how to, you know, how you look these up. I just look them up in my Bible app. For pater, patros, it says an archetype anticipating a later reality and suggesting a derivative relationship. And then it goes on to give an example. So that he could, speaking of Abraham, so that he could be the father of all those who believe. Okay. This last, this is Vine's Complete Expository Dictionary, New Testament words for the term father, pater. Strong's number 3962, the term we've been looking at. From a root signifying a nourisher, protector, upholder. Now, each one throughout the entirety of the scriptures that the Lord used at some point, it was established in their heart, the doer of the work. The nourisher, a protector, upholder, this is God himself. He nourishes El Shaddai. He protects El Shaddai. He upholds El Shaddai. Who ultimately can do anything like this? Remember the term mercy? Mercy is when there is one that is in a condition or in a situation of being completely and utterly powerless, no ability whatsoever. And yet there is another who is all powerful, having all ability to bring about what is needed. No, there is no one who deserves the mercy of God, brothers and sisters. There's no one who deserves the mercy of God. And very sadly, we look at ourselves and we look at others and we judge one another according to the flesh, not realizing that God does not judge according to the flesh. God looketh upon the heart. If Christ is not present, he extends mercy that Christ may be present. Because apart from Christ being present, the soul is in a condition of death. He looks upon the heart. If the heart is not submitted unto that which governs the house of God, then he beholds that heart and extends mercy, doing what no man can do. Man cannot turn their heart unto God. Remember what Jesus said, no man can cometh to me except the Father draw him. No, not one, but the Father. No, not man's ability, El Shaddai. Going on. Continuing on with Vine's dictionary. Is used, the letter A, or definition A, of the nearest ancestor, definition B, of a more remote ancestor, the progenitor of the people, a forefather, the patriarchs. Definition C, one advanced in the knowledge of Christ. Whoa, Dr. Vine, you hit it on the head. You hit the nail on the head. One advanced, I like that, the way, oh gosh, the way he says that. Is this a building blocks thing? Is this a little foundational thing? No, 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 no. One advanced in the knowledge of Christ. And then he has a reference, which we're going to look at. This is 1 John chapter 2, starting with verse 13. We're going to read 13 and 14. This is the Apostle John, who knew the Lord, who walked with the Lord. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. The beginning and the end are the same, brothers and sisters. He goes on to say, I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. Because you have known the Father. And you're saying, oh, children are knowing the Father. Well, you just, Dr. Vine, what did you say? One advanced in the knowledge of Christ? Father? Pater? I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. Why are they knowing the Father? Because the Apostle John, who knows the Father, who is knowing the Father, is declaring the Father unto those, that they may grow up and not depart from the way. He was communicating to these. This is an one of his epistles to this particular fellowship, and actually to all, because they would distribute different epistles, different, you know, letters to the churches, different ones. They would circulate them. This apostle was communicating with the body of Christ. He was declaring unto them that which he was, I'll say it this way, it may not be grammatically correct, relationshiply knowing. I know I know it doesn't make sense grammatically. It's not grammatically correct. What he was knowing relationship-wise with God himself. Verse 14, I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. All right. So going on, it says, this is definition D. D as in David. Metaphorically, of the originator of a family or company of persons, animated by the same spirit as himself, as of Abraham. Remember, with Abraham, what was the heart of Abraham submitted unto? The heart of Abraham was submitted unto that which governs the house of God. Remember, Abraham continued in the appearing of the Lord. That's it. This is what governs the house of God. Jesus declared it. No man lights a candle, puts it under a bushel or under a bed and hides it. No, no. He puts it on a candlestick so that those who are in the house and those who come into the house may see the light of the house. Now listen, the light of the house is not the candle that is on the candlestick. The light that is on the light from the candle that is on the candlestick is a testimony of the true light of the house. Because the testimony gets your attention, that you might see, that we might see the true light of the house of God. This is what governs the house of the Lord. John on the Isle of Patmos. I heard the voice, I turned to see the voice, and I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the candlesticks, I saw him. That's what it's all about, brothers and sisters. That's what it's all about. This is what governed, governs, and forever will govern the house of God. This is the kingdom of God. This is what governs the house of God. Beholding him who is present. And the heart of Abraham was submitted unto this, the government in the house of God. Therefore, Abraham's household was governed by the same, Isaac, Jacob. This established in the three, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, established in the three. This, therefore, ought to be established in the tribe. After it's established in the house, in the tribe, in the tribes, in the peoples, in the nation of Israel, in the world. Not I, but Christ, animated by the same spirit as himself, as Abraham. I've got a note here and I want to read it. This is a verse, well, I actually have it printed. This is John chapter 8, verse 56 through 59. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. We've already looked at this verse several classes back. He leaped forward in expectation of beholding me, of seeing me the day, of the day dawning, the day star rising in his heart, and he saw me and he rejoiced. Remember, the heart of Abraham was submitted to that which governs the house of God. And Abraham, who is governed, whose heart is submitted to the government of the Father, brings his whole household that their hearts would be submitted unto the same. Company of persons animated by the same spirit as himself, as of Abraham. This is definition E, of one who, as a preacher of the gospel and a teacher, stands in a father's place, caring for his spiritual children. And then he goes back to reference 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15, the Apostle Paul. But remember, with the Apostle Paul, with all of these, it is not I but the Father. It is not I but Christ. It is not I but El Shaddai. It is not I but God. And then finally, brothers and sisters, not the same as more as a mere title of honor, which the Lord prohibited, Matthew chapter 23, verse 9, where Jesus says, call no man Father. We have one Father. Definition G, of God in relation to those who have been born anew. And I'll end it with this verse right here. John chapter 1, verse 12 through 13. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Not man's ability, but God's ability. El Shaddai. The Father. Not I, but the Father. I love this. So, we've gone a little over. Once again, I'll just mention this. During these classes, in these classes, please take everything that I'm sharing, present it to the Lord. Because if you're learning what I'm saying, then that, listen, if you're learning what I'm saying, what I'm sharing, that is not sufficient. It's not. Praise God. Philip desired that which is sufficient for everything else. Show us the Father, and it's sufficient. So once again, take everything that I'm sharing, present it to the Spirit of God, that the Holy Spirit would take it and use whatever He desires to use to continue to prepare the ground of our heart, and I'll just say this, for the will of God. Amen? For God's purpose. Amen? Amen. We'll let you go for this class. We'll see you in our next class. Lord bless. Amen.